All right, welcome back. Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. I tell you, Penn State was living on the edge. They had a chance to beat Ohio State last week, and they blew it big time. Kevin McGuire, NBC Sports, Athlon Sports, NCAA football writer, is with me now. Kevin, how you doing? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
You got it. Hey, Kevin, I want to go back to that game for a minute. I still don't understand how Penn State on a 4th and 5 after like 52 timeouts, when your only effective running game was your quarterback on a 4th and 5, how you think you're going to get a first down running the tailback in that situation? Was that a terrible call, or is that just an unfair criticism because it didn't work?
No, I think it was a bad call because the way that the game that Trace McSorley was having all night,
he was
the best player in that game.
Yes.
And with 4th down, with the game on the line, he has to be the guy that's going to make the play. If Ohio State stops him, then kudos to them. But for Penn State to go with anybody but Trace McSorley in that situation was unfortunate for them, and now they pay the price for it.
Yeah, and I don't think Penn State season's over, right? Because they can still have Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin. I guess if they finished 11-1 with wins over that team and a close loss to Ohio State, anything's possible. But they really missed a great opportunity. Meanwhile, Ohio State moves on, and they're playing nobody the next few weeks. Can Indiana give them a game?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so at all. I think Ohio State, first of all, playing at home, they're just another animal. And Indiana is not a team that's equipped to go head-to-head with Ohio State this week. No, goodbye.
Let's go to the SEC, where Alabama is going to play another awful team today. This time, it's not really their fault because it's a conference opponent in Arkansas, and they'll probably smoke them on the road. So Nick Saban won't be able to complain about his fan base. I thought Nick Saban, I didn't like those comments, and I didn't like that Tim Tebow defended him either. What did you think of Saban's comments about Alabama fans at the game?
I feel like he has said this before. I feel like we went through this whole cycle last year. It's just another thing that Nick Saban's trying to find for some room of criticism for a program that's really kind of standing above everybody else. I sort of get what he's trying to go at. I just don't think it comes across very well. I mean, with all the success that Alabama has had, he wants fans to be in their seats and be as intimidated as possible. But the thing is, if you're beating up on your opponents and the game is well decided before halftime, there's not a whole lot to get excited about as the game goes on, and people want to do some other things. So if it's a competitive game, those fans are going to be there. But
agreed.
Alabama hasn't allowed for that.
A game we hope will be competitive and is on paper the best game in the SEC today is LSU-Florida. LSU comes in 5-0. Florida's 4-1. LSU is a slight favorite in this game in Gainesville. Who do you like in this game today?
I sort of like LSU, but it's one of those games that's really close, and I don't really feel really confident going either way. But I do like the way that LSU has played so far this season. They've already gone on the road, or at least away from home, and won a couple games against ranked opponents with the opener against Miami. They've already gone to Auburn. And so going to Gainesville isn't going to be anything that intimidates them, I don't think. But defensively, they're very sound once again, as they typically are. And Joe Burrow, a quarterback, not particularly anything special, but he's an upgrade, and he provides some consistency, at least on offense, and that's something that LSU has been starving for a long time. So I don't know if he's the guy that you can count on to make a play in the clutch. Maybe we'll find out today. But he's a guy that's not going to turn the ball over much. So that's a big plus, I think, for LSU. So I think going into play Florida, a team that has been playing some good defense themselves, I think we've got a low-scoring, back-and-forth kind of game going on right here.
Yeah, Kevin, one more thing from the SEC, which I'm fascinated by right now, and that's Kentucky. Kentucky has not won more than 7 games since, 2007? They haven't won a bowl game since 2008. They haven't even been ranked within a season since 2007, and they haven't finished a season ranked since 1984. They haven't won double-digit games since 1977. They're 5-0. They're ranked number 13. How legit are they? Are they a real football team right now?
Well, they're not a team that's going to beat out Georgia in the SEC East, but they are certainly an improved Kentucky program, probably one of the better ones we've seen in a long time. You've got to give them a whole lot of credit for that because I didn't necessarily see this coming, so kudos to Mark Stoops for what he's doing there. I do think they will I'm not going to say they're going to hit a wall for any point because I don't think they're going to go away. But like I said, are they going to be a team that's going to go head-to-head with Georgia? I don't think so. But it's a team that can definitely make things interesting. They can make that game against Georgia in a couple of weeks actually mean something. And that's something that nobody saw coming. So it's been a fun ride to watch with Kentucky so far.
Speaking of a fun ride for a team you wouldn't expect, the Syracuse Orange, last year they pulled that big upset over Clemson. Last week they had a chance with Clemson's quarterback going down. They fell just short. Clemson came back. They're still 4-1. Another team kind of under the radar, hasn't been good in a while. Last time they were really consistently decent was with Paul Pasqualoni 20 years ago. is Syracuse, can Syracuse win 9-10 games and play a good bowl game?
I'm starting to think that they can. Defensively, they've been improving, and the way that Dino Babers has been getting that offense going, they can do some damage. But like we saw last week, it's still a team that is going to need some talent and some depth if they're going to be able to make any serious runs in the near future. So that's going to come over time. But for right now, they are definitely an entertaining team to watch. I'm very curious to see what they do against Pitt today. So this is it's a team on the rise. I'm not saying they're going to be competing for an ACC title anytime soon, but yeah, getting to a bowl game and flirting with 9 wins, that is definitely within the realm of possibility here.
So Clemson had the close game with Syracuse, obviously, as mentioned. Texas and A&M came back against them and made it a close game at the end. Are there threats over NC State and Florida State on the road? I don't know, but can anybody – did Clemson get over the hump of the close wins, and are they going to cruise now the rest of the season?
I think that they're going to be okay. Yeah, NC State's going to be a problem. Boston College could be an issue potentially, but I don't see any reason to think that Clemson's going to be an underdog. They're going to be favored in every game they play the rest of the year because of their defense. And as we saw last week, if they have to go and rely on their running game, they can do some damage there too. It really just depends, as far as the bigger picture is concerned, is how healthy is Trevor Lawrence going to be? And if he's healthy, I think Clemson is still going to be in a really good spot. Every good team is going to have a close call. Maybe not Alabama, but every team is going to have to overcome at least a little bit of adversity at some point. So maybe we're seeing that right now at Clemson, but this is still a really good team, really deep in a lot of areas. Having a healthy quarterback is certainly going to help their chances.
I think the general consensus when Scott Frost left UCF is that, that was the end of UCF. Well, listen, obviously they don't play in a great conference, but they remain undefeated. Meanwhile, Scott Frost goes to Nebraska, and they have not won a game yet. They're 0-4 on the season, and they've scored 85 points in 4 games while giving up 155. The 85 points is second worst in the Big Ten. The 155 points allowed, also second worst in the Big Ten, only better than Rutgers in both of those. Is Scott Frost a fraud, or is it way too early to say that?
I do think it's way too early to hop on that one just yet.
Yeah.
I did think that this is going to be a rebuilding project, and I thought just getting the 6 wins in his first year in Nebraska was going to be difficult enough. I didn't expect it to be quite this difficult, though. But the overall picture is, Nebraska's thinking a little bit more long-term. I do think that Scott Frost is going to be okay there. This is obviously a really rough start. Kelly at UCLA saying the same thing. But I do think that he's a good fit for Nebraska. Give him some time to recruit some of the players he's going to need, and that's going to all start coming together. Remember, he turned UCF around. They were winless before he got there. Maybe he's just trying to make Nebraska winless so he can have the same kind of turnaround, but I do think that it's way too early to suggest that this is a bad hire for Nebraska, because I do think it's going to work out in the long run.
None of the ranked teams in the Pac-12 are playing any other ranked team, but in the Pac-12, what do you think the game of the day is? Is it Utah-Stanford? Is it Arizona State-Colorado? I mean, if you only watch one Pac-12 game today, what are you watching?
Yeah, if you're only watching one, it's probably that Utah-Stanford game because Stanford now coming off a loss. I still think that they're going to be pretty good. Utah is actually an interesting team. I don't know if there's any chance that they can pull away and get a big win here because Utah just seems to be a team that can hang around with some of the better teams, but they always shoot themselves in the foot. So if you're going to stay up late to watch that, it's probably going to be worth watching. California and Arizona might be good too. It might be entertaining, but I think Utah-Stanford certainly the game of the week. Washington and UCLA could be pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been terrible so far, as you mentioned. But let's move to the Big 12, where Oklahoma plays Texas today. And people have been waiting for Texas to be back for a while. They lost their opener to Maryland, and Nobody had a lot of hope. They've beaten TCU. They've beaten USC. You know, how good are those wins? We'll see as the season goes along. But they play Oklahoma today. What kind of chance do you give the Longhorns in that one?
I think they're going to be very competitive. I just don't know if they have enough right now, especially offensively, to take Oklahoma down. I think the only way that Texas can, you know, find a way to win this game is if they slow things down. We saw a couple weeks ago what Army could do working the clock against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's going to get their points, but if you can keep them off the field, maybe you get them out of rhythm. I just don't know if Texas has enough firepower. You know, they are heading in the right direction right now. They have a couple good wins under the belt. They're feeling pretty confident right now. But the ultimate measuring stick is going to remain what they do against Oklahoma. Right now, I don't think that they stack up just yet, but I do think that they're going to be competitive in a losing effort.
Kevin McGuire is with us, NBC Sports Athlon, and he's a college football writer, of course. Kevin, this pains me because I am an anti-Notre Dame guy. I hate to give them any credit. I'm literally in pain from having to do this. But they've beaten Michigan. They've beaten Stanford. If you look at the combined record of the five teams they've beaten in all the games besides them, I think the five teams have lost a total of either four or five games, not including against Notre Dame. I think Ball State's the only team they've beaten that's under 500. How much credit does Notre Dame deserve? How good are they? I know they don't play a marquee matchup the rest of the season. They do play at Virginia Tech today, and they play Syracuse. But how good are they? Can they be a college football playoff team?
They can be, but I think that they have to go undefeated because I don't think one loss is going to be enough for them to have a margin for error. I think they have to go 12-0, and that means having to win in Blacksburg tonight, which I think is going to be a tough game for them, honestly.
Yeah.
But what I like about Notre Dame is they're much more improved offensively since they made their quarterback change to Ian Book. It's just a completely different team. You know, the defense has been fine. The running game is typically going to be fine, too. But it was all about that quarterback play. And then once they made that change, it's like the offense has come to life. So that makes them much more of a valid threat, I think. But like I said, if you're Notre Dame, 11-1 is not going to cut it. And there are some games that I do think are going to be potential losses down the line. You know, even that regular season finale at USC could be interesting. USC is not great this year, but it's an interesting matchup there. And there's going to be a lot of travel that Notre Dame's going to have to do the rest of the way. I mean, that Syracuse game is going to be in Yankee Stadium. They're going to be playing Navy in San Diego, I think, this year, too. So there's a lot of travel, and that can catch up to a team as good as Notre Dame may be.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to give you four games here that are all teams that are favored by 9 to 17 points. And I want you to tell me which of these underdogs is the most likely to pull an upset. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Maryland against Michigan, Northwestern against Michigan State, Florida State against Miami, or Iowa State against Oklahoma State. If you had to pick one of those four upsets, which would you pick?
The one I like the best out of that is probably that Northwestern-Michigan State game. Well, Michigan State has not been great this year. They've been vulnerable a couple times. And Northwestern, I know the record is pretty bad right now, but I just look at a Pat Fitzgerald team. They can be kind of plucky. And defensively, they're pretty good. It's just a matter of getting enough points in. Against Michigan State, it's not easy to do, especially in East Lansing. But if I had to pick one of those games, that's the one I'm going to go with.
When you look at the line of demarcation, if you will, where you divide teams into levels, is Alabama a level by itself, or Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, maybe Clemson in a group? How would you break it down in terms of, you know, who belongs on what level?
Yeah, I certainly have Alabama at the top. If you want to put them on their own level, that's perfectly fine with me. I'm okay with that. But on the next level, I've got the teams like Georgia and Ohio State. I'm still going to throw Clemson in there, too. I know we just talked about them a little bit, a little bit of a concern. But I'm going to throw them in there because I have faith that they're going to be okay. And I'm the same way as Oklahoma, too. Even the close call against Army, I know some people were getting all up in arms about that. But, you know, last week the offense was back in action and just fine. So I think Clemson and Oklahoma, you can feel pretty confident about the rest of the way. So I have those teams on their own level right now. Again, if you want to put Alabama on their own level above that, that's fine. And then you got the teams that are kind of hoping for some help and maybe can sneak their way in. And those are the teams that I think, you know, certainly we just talked about Notre Dame. I think they needed a little bit of help maybe.
Right.
I still think Penn State's in that conversation. Auburn, if they win today, probably can stay there, at least for now. They're going to have some big challenges ahead of them with games against Georgia and Alabama down the line. But worry about those later. And then go back to the Pac-12 with Washington, a team that has not played great early on this season, but they certainly looked a lot better last week against a BYU team that's probably not that very good right now. But, a one-loss Pac-12 champion, to me, is at least on that radar.
Right. We know the SEC champ is getting in. Is the Big Ten champ definitely in, you think?
I think so. If it's going to be Ohio State, I certainly feel very good about
sure.
their chances right now. If Penn State sneaks in there somehow, they need a lot of help for that to happen. But I do think the Big Ten champion is very likely to be in because I think the Big Ten champion is going to be Ohio State. If it's Wisconsin,
right?
There's a possibility because they probably have to beat Ohio State to get there, and they would have had wins against Michigan and Penn State along the way. So Wisconsin's got a chance to move up in that conversation. But, yeah, I think the Big Ten champion is going to be in one way or the other.
Kevin, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you for joining me.
It was my pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.